way to get saved was a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of good works. So through the process of this, the church at Antioch sent their elders, probably some church members, but certainly elders, Paul, Barnabas, came to Jerusalem, talked to the other apostles, the elders of the church at Jerusalem, and the church. And we'll then pick up in verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. Now understand, we don't have any apostles today. The oldest person in our church, Frenchie, is still way too young to be an apostle. You'd have to be about 2,000 years old. But we do have elders, and we do have what the apostles wrote, which would be the New Testament. It says, and when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us. And that's really kind of important. The church and people being saved is really not joining a club. It's God making choice. But that's beside the point here right now. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us, and putting no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And that's shorthand, by faith in Christ. Now, therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? Meaning there is nobody capable of working them their way to heaven. Please look at me. The religion doesn't make any difference. Once you get past the blah, blah, blah stuff, there is nobody that can work their way any place on earth. Everybody runs into the same problem. And he's saying, why would we do that? Verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And remember, this is the big issue with the Gentiles, but I don't want to go too far with that, but that's the big issue here. All right, in the Old Testament, look up here. It's going to go right to Sunday school. In the Old Testament, if you got saved, normally you became, became somehow connected to the Jewish people. Well, in the New Testament, all of a sudden, God has a totally different plan. He is setting aside the Jewish people, reaching out to the Gentiles. But how do they get saved? Well, Paul, Peter, and James is all going to end up saying the same thing. Verse 13, after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, another word for Simon Peter, Simon, Simeon hath declared, and here is the verse, how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. For what purpose? For what purpose? To take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets. He's saying the Old Testament teaches this. We have gone far enough. We're going to pick up with the second, actually it's the third in the series, but we're going to pick up with the second Baptist distinctive. We're going to recoup everything we have said. I believe every Baptist, if you're a Baptist, should be able to repeat the main ideas of the last two Sunday schools because they're who you are. So we're going to start is, what's a Baptist? Is that a fair question? So before we pray, let me say it this way. My daughter sent me something a few months back. Church out in D.C., in D.C. area, Baptist church. They have two female pastors, good or bad? Well, but they're lesbians. Is that better or worse? They do not believe the gospel. Look me in the eyes. Are they a Baptist? Well, the church says Baptist. Thank you, sister. They're not even Christian. Precisely. So when we're talking about Baptist, every Baptist in this room ought to be able to understand what it means to be a Baptist without the Billy Baptist foolishness. You know, I wear white socks. Praise God. Folks, that is not transferable from country to country. That is cultural nonsense. We're talking about what does it mean to be a Baptist. So we're going to start back at the beginning, and by memory, you're going to help me go over what we've said the last 2 weeks. And this week, we add another layer because we're going to ask the question about a church. What is a church? Have you ever heard a good Billy Baptist say this? I missed church last week. Have you heard that? Yes or no? Now, don't answer because you won't. Have you ever said it? And the answer is, yes, you have. We even struggle with what a church is. Most people think church is a building or it's a place. Wow. So we're going to talk about the second major distinction of being a Baptist. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Bless our time together. I ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. So we began this series, and by the way, if you'll turn to the backside of your notes, this is the last time I think I will put this in the notes. This is of my making. I use the stuff from the regular Baptist press. I use stuff from Maranatha. I use 15 different sources. I created my own little acrostic. It's basically something that I'm comfortable with. These are the Baptist distinctives. But before we go there, please look at me and let's ask a question. What is a Baptist fundamentally? So some of you think that church in D.C. is not a Baptist church. Is that correct? Because? How about this? They don't believe the gospel. Let me ask you a question. Could you be a Baptist and have a woman pastor? Better be careful how you answer. The answer is yes, you could. Should you? That's a different question. But folks, if you don't have the gospel, you are not a Baptist. Is three things. Number one, we are Orthodox Trinitarian. That's where it begins and ends. And here's the problem. If I preach a sermon on the Trinity, most of you at the end of the sermon have no idea what I even talked about because that's not practical, so pastors don't preach on it. Well, friend, that's who God is. Who do you pray to? To whom do you pray? To whom do you pray? The triune God. The second thing about a Baptist is, and this is, folks, before you get to distinctives, is we are evangelical and evangelistic, or if you prefer, we are gospel believing and gospel preaching. I could say gospel practicing. Folks, that's kind of, so when the church, and by the way, my daughter found this church because some friends from certain Christian college she went to go to it because they're gay also. And they deny every piece of the gospel. So this lovely young lady over here, how old are 38, baby. Mrs. Peterson said, not only are they not a Baptist, they're not even a Christian. So Orthodox Trinitarian, evangelical, meaning gospel preaching, gospel believing, that's what evangelical, euangelion means, the gospel. Gospel preaching, so we're evangelical, evangelistic, and thirdly, we hold to, I use this phrase, I borrow this from a historian, Baptists are theologically integrated, meaning they hold to certain distinctives called the Baptist distinctives. Last week, we started with the first Baptist distinctive, which is biblical authority. I only said three things. We believe in biblical authority. Biblical authority, not Bible. Not Bible. Plus something else. Yes? Are you sure you believe? By the way, folks, if you think that's true, I'm telling you what a Baptist is supposed to be. Go to a Baptist church and find out the foolishness we have invested into churches. You go to certain, my brother used to go to these churches, they're shouting Baptists. You know, that makes you spiritual. If the pastor doesn't run up and down the aisle, jump over pews, he's not preaching. That's the reason when those kind of people drift into this church, they're like this. They've never been in a church where you're expected to actually learn the scripture. Church is part of your entertainment package. The grandfather of that movement, one of them, just went to be with the Lord. I'm not questioning whether he was saved, but his preaching was of zero value. Brother Sammy Allen. Can you imagine having a church service and the pastors jumping over pews? I can just see Jesus saying, thou shalt jump over... Oh, that's right, they didn't have pews. All right, enough of that. By the way, friends, are you a Baptist? Well, the Baptist distinctives are this: biblical authority, biblical authority, not Bible plus, and number three, biblical authority, New Testament priority. Where do we learn about the church from? The New Testament. Where do we learn about baptism from? The New Testament. Where do we learn about what a pastor's role is? New Testament. This doesn't mean we don't appreciate the Old Testament. We don't read it. It's our authority. But it doesn't have much to do with the church because the church is in the New Testament and the Old Testament deals with Israel. Yes, we learn about God. Yes, we learn about faith. We learn tons of stuff in the Old Testament, but not that which deals with the local church. Well, this morning we're going to go to point number two. I have entitled all of this Baptist. I have to put an R in here, not because I'm trying to make up a word, because I want to have a separate category that deals with what's called regenerate church membership, and actually I prefer a gathered church. So if you turn to the front page of your notes, if you go to the average Baptist church, people oftentimes confuse the church with a location. Or they confuse the church with, my favorite is this. You know, when a person becomes a member of Lake County, this is when it happens. When the person quits calling Lake County their church or that church and they start calling it my church. Some people never do that. By the way, are you a member of a church? That's your family. But let me go to a story that happened to me, so it's a good story to tell because it illustrates this. And it'll be in the introduction here. 34 years ago, maybe, I was with a friend of mine, and we went to something of that effect. It was kind of slow there. We were talking to each other and talking to the man that was running it. And the man who ran it had an accent. And I thought he was Greek, probably because the name of the place was Greek. And I knew he had a Greek accent, so I talked to him a little bit, and we talked about a lot of things. He was a nice guy, very interesting guy, owned the place. We chatted about a lot of different things. Finally, he asked me who I was, what I did, that sort of thing, and I got around to talking about Christ. I talked about being saved, salvation, and the guy, by the way, was a nice person, decent guy, nothing wrong with him. If you met him, you would like him. But when I mentioned getting saved, he looked at me bewildered. This was his answer to, are you saved? I'm Greek. First time I'd ever heard somebody say that to me. I'm what? Okay, I'm a Cardinal fan. What, does that save you? I actually am not a Cardinal fan. I'm an ex-Cardinal fan. You say, why are you ex? Because I don't watch sports at all, maybe for the rest of my life. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Some of you will figure it out why one day. But yeah, besides the fact they're just stupid sports. My friend, when he said that to me, I was a young guy, and I'm like, you're Greek. But I was asking you whether you're saved. And he said, I'm Greek. And I was like, I was young, slightly confused. I'm talking to him about salvation by grace through faith alone, in Christ alone, and he's saying I'm Greek, in your notes. And friend, you don't have to fill in the blank. You need to understand the blank. For many countries to be whatever that country is to be what? Whatever the religion of that country is. So if you're Greek, what are you? If you're German, you are, or if you're from South Germany, Catholic. Now, that doesn't mean you ever go to church. And you say, well, why are you saying this? Friend, please look at me, get this. We're asking, what are the Baptist distinctives? The primary central distinction after this, biblical authority, not Bible plus, New Testament priority for the local church issues, is this. We believe in a gathered church. There are many countries who do not. There are many people who do not. When you are born, by the way, go to Saudi Arabia today. Preach the gospel. What first thing that happens to you? You get arrested. Why? Because in Saudi Arabia, to be Saudi Arabian is to be Muslim. Many countries are this way. Talk to people from the South about being a Baptist. I remember when Haley McGrail first went to the South, she said she never could find a person who wasn't saved. Saved. Everybody went to a Baptist church. And I said, yes, just like everybody in the North in certain areas in how it goes to a Catholic church. And it means the same thing. Nothing. Nobody follows Christ. It's just religion. What is, sorry folks, your Christianity has to mean something. What does it mean? Well, let's continue reading. I say in some countries, this is still the law. By the way, if you're in Thailand, you're Buddhist. If you're from Indonesia, you're Muslim. If you're from Scandinavia, you're Lutheran. What if you're Polish? Have you ever witnessed to a Polish person? The most Catholic country on earth today is? It's Poland. Why? Because of communism. It gave the Polish people a place of safety. By the way, it's the opposite in Russia. The Russian Orthodox Church worked for the communist. So the Russian people, you meet Polish people, even males will be very serious. I'm Polish, therefore I'm Irish, therefore I'm Scottish, therefore I'm Presbyterian. These are just part and parcel. So in your notes, in some countries, this is still the law. In a few, the death penalty awaits the convert. In many more, citizenship equals religion. Or at least, this is the understanding. I don't think they're saved. I don't think they have anything to do with Christ in many countries. But they are that because, well, that's what we are. Now, I'm going to use abbreviations in some of this today. When we discuss regenerate church membership or a gathered church, what do we mean? First and foremost, we mean this. It's just this simple. The church is not the state or the territory or the world. That is a fundamental plank. Now, friends, some of you will read books. In this church, probably in this room this morning, I'm going to guess half a dozen people read, maybe a few more. I'm going to guess most people do not read. Here's a good man. He wrote a great book called Knowing God. Went to be with the Lord recently, J.I. Packer. You read J.I. Packer's book on Knowing God, by the way, which is not a book at all. It was a series of articles written in the 1950s, put together as a book 30 years later. But J.I. Packer was English. And for J.I. Packer, to be a Christian was to be Anglican. No matter what the Anglican Church did, J.I. Packer said, he was a Bible believer, but then the Anglican Church in England started allowing gay marriage, and they started then having gay priests, and then they have gay bishops. And look at me, friends, J.I. Packer and J.R.W. Stott and several of these guys, they couldn't do anything about it. Why? To be English is to be Anglican to them. The church was England. We're all part of the church. What? Many people think this. The church, fundamental principle, the church is not the world, the state, the ethnicity, the region, any of that. 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Into panero. And by the way, friend, that verse will be found this morning when it says in the King James, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from. That very phrase is found, and it means in evil or wickedness or in the evil one. And I think probably in both places it's talking about both. The Christian, the moment they are saved, they are called out of the world into a relationship with God. They're separated from the evil of this world. I say in your notes, this is central to our beliefs and the teaching of the New Testament. The church did not equal the Roman Empire or any other empire. That is fundamental. Friend, America is not a Christian nation, nor for any Baptist ever wanted to be thought of as a Christian nation. Because Christians are people that have been saved by God's grace, called out of the world, formed into local churches. We are not equivalent of the state, which is the problem. John 15. Jesus says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordains you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And by the way, you don't worry about whether the other person loves you. The command is to you. You love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. But that's assuming there's a separation between being a believer and the world. Verse 19, if you are of the world would love his own. But because you are not ektu kosmu, you're not of that world, out of that world. You're not part of that system. But I have chosen you instead out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. We'll skip down to the little chart. This is obviously distinct from the Old Testament. Friend, in the 1500s, which I have read tons about, and I love history. I love church history. I just love history. If you go back in England in the 1500s, you say, where do Baptists come from? They come from the 1600s or the 17th century in England. 1609, somewhere around that through the 1640s. 1644, we have seven churches in London that call themselves baptized churches, and they wrote a doctrinal statement, the First London Baptist. If you go, please listen, friend, if you go into England, starting in the 1500s, Henry the Great decided he wanted to get rid of his wife. Catherine of Aragon. The Pope would always give a king an annulment, always. But he had a problem. Catherine of Aragon, her parents were big shots. So the Pope could not give him an annulment. So eventually he split from the Church of Rome and started the Church of England. Now Henry VIII was probably on his best day still a Catholic. But he didn't want the Pope. So he divorced Catherine of Aragon. And then he went on through the list. You say, what are you telling me this for? Are you listening? Presbyterians, which started in the late 1500s, 1580s, 90s, with a guy named Cartwright, wrote some excellent material. A little bit later, you start having what's called independents or congregationalists, some great men. Most of these people still believed exactly what King Henry believed, with one exception. Henry wanted a church dominated by Henry. They wanted a more biblical church, but they still wanted the church and the state together. Where did they learn this from? They learned this primarily from the Old Testament. Remember, Baptists hold to biblical authority? You see, in the New Testament, Christianity, the faith looks different. In the Old Testament, friend, Israel and the faith were what? So if your model for a church is the Old Testament, then you believe what I got to do is get rid of those bad guys and get us good guys in charge and reform the church. Baptists from the beginning rejected that entirely. They said, no, 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 that's basing your understanding of the church on the Old Testament. The New Testament is not church and state together. The New Testament are churches within every country, every ethnic group, every state. Very different. In your notes. Does everybody understand that? Hey, the Puritans that came to America, I descend from one, 1629. Did they want religious freedom for themselves? Because they wanted to have a more biblical, look at me, state church. Why do you think they took Roger Williams in the middle of the winter and ran him off? Roger Williams believed exactly what those Puritans believed in every area except church polity. It wasn't that he wanted to baptize people. That actually kind of came later. He thought the church ought to be separate from the state and the state. By the way, in New England, friend, if you didn't go to church, you didn't say, well, I missed church last week. I was busy sleeping or I was busy traveling. If you didn't go to church, they would arrest you. They would fine you because the state enforced the laws of the church. Now, would I have rather lived in New England than in England? Yes, because it was more biblical, but it was still a state church. They get this from the Old Testament. By the way, friends, Presbyterians, of whom I love and went to a school, love these people, they did not invent religious liberty. They fought it tooth and nail. Baptists are the first people who ever came across the idea of what Jesus taught in the first century. State and church are separate. That'll be down the road. Look in your notes. This is obviously distinct from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the church or the faith equaled the state. Ezekiel says this, "This is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her." Deuteronomy says, "Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations." Friend, let's make it simple. In the Old Testament, this is what God did. He chose a nation. He chose a nation among all the ethnic peoples of the world. This group of people was a nation, a people, a faith in the middle of all the nations. And the church, and I'm using that wrong, but the faith and the state were combined. Could you be a non-believer in Israel? Well, the answer is yes, of course. Could you blaspheme in Israel? Not if you wanted to live. You see, the church and the state were one because God chose a nation among the nations. He wanted this nation to demonstrate to all the nations what it would be like if you would follow the living God. That's Old Testament. New Testament's very different. Very different. The New Testament, the church, does not equal the state. Christians and churches are to be in every state, every territory, every nation. That's a huge difference. Friends, we'll come back to this at later times because how many of you remember that I said the Baptist distinctives are they a shopping list? They're a what? A recipe. And you cannot interchange ideas. All of these ideas of being a Baptist go together. And I think I used the illustration of kare, which some of you don't know. Last week I used the illustration of potato salad. If we're going to have fried chicken, friends, people fry chicken differently. But if you don't have chicken, it's not fried chicken. It's that idea. These Baptist distinctives are not something that you can kind of say, well, I like this one, don't like this one. They actually all hook together. What I'm teaching, we'll come back to in another way on separation of church and state. It's all connected together. So let's look at Revelation 1, verse 11 in your notes. You can read the other verses because this is something you need to think about. Baptists, Biblical authority, New Testament priority. Regenerate church membership or a gathered church. The church is not the world. Revelation 1 verse 11, the Lord says to John, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it into the seven churches. He doesn't say which are Asia. He says which are in Asia. The New Testament never predicted or saw a time when these churches would be the state. The Bible looks out and God wants to plant churches, bodies of believers in every state, in every territory, in every ethnic group, in every nation. So he says, write to the various churches which are in Asia. That was, by the way, a Roman province. We're not talking about China. Unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. So these are, and look at verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden, and this is a mistranslation because of not knowing, should be lamps, because they did not have candles until the Middle Ages. He looked, and all of a sudden, in symbolically, he saw these lamps. Friend, what's the purpose of a lamp? To give light. And in the middle of this Roman province, there were lamps. And the purpose again was, what is the purpose of your life? Hey, what's the purpose of your life? To complain? To whine? To gossip? Your purpose is to shine light. God brought us into this place to be light in a dark world. That's the whole point. Under the verses, I say this. This was all gradually corrupted, or corrupted gradually after 313. It started when Christianity was tolerated, then legalized, and finally adopted as the official Roman religion. So a gathered church, friend, well, I'll just say it this way, and then we'll go to point number two. The more you witness to people, the more you'll understand what I'm talking about. If you don't witness to people, you're not going to understand this because you're not going to experience it. You talk to a Polish Catholic and they cannot for the life of them understand why you're even talking to them. I'm Polish. Well, the first premise of biblical Bible-believing Baptist Christianity after the New Testament authority, biblical authority, New Testament priority is the church is not the world. We're not a state. Christianity doesn't equal Illinois, or Christianity doesn't equal Mississippi, or Christianity doesn't equal California. Now, do people see it that way? No. Sadly, Christianity takes a bad rap because of a lot of things that people who were Christians did, i.e. slavery, i.e. fighting a civil war over slavery, i.e. racist pastors still preaching racism. We had a gentleman that used to come here. Gentleman is the wrong term. I preached on Philemon. Some of you might remember, you've heard of that book sometime, and I preached about slavery two different services. He came up to me, both of them. He says, the Bible just doesn't teach what you just said. Well, I think it says what it says. Yes, our old buddy Adrian was a pure-blooded racist pig. There's lots of them floating around. By the way, was he a Christian? Well, not in any way that I understand Christianity. Friend, we're not the state. Don't say, well, those folks did so and so. Christians didn't do that. Religious people did. Second premise of a gathered church, regenerate church membership, is not only that the church is not the world, state, territory, area, region, ethnicity, whatever terms you want to use. That second premise is God himself gathers the church and local churches out of the world. This is the work that God himself is doing. Friend, I don't know how to say it any other way. This is the point. Look back at Acts 15. Would you please? Acts 15. if you would be kind enough to notice language. Verse 7 says, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the who." What does Gentiles mean? Is that just a religious word to you? Yeah, ethnic peoples. Yeah, not Jewish people, just ethnic people, various ethnicities. Ethne is the word there. He says how God made choice among us that the ethnic peoples, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, even as he did in us. Meaning, man, they had the same salvation, everything is the same. And put no difference between them and us, purifying their heart by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt you, God, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. And it's kind of funny he starts with we. We're going to be saved just like they are. That's an interesting little spin. Verse 12, then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the whom? The ethnic peoples again. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon Peter hath declared how God at the first did visit whom? The Gentiles, the ethnic peoples, to take out of them a people for his name. Please look at me. Is every person that comes to Lake County Baptist Church saved? Answer the question so I can hear you. How do you know? Does anybody raise their hand and say, I'm not saved? We cannot prove that every single person that comes to this church is a Christian. If I looked at a lifetime over 10 years, by the way, when I was in Bible college, I heard it. Chuck Ells and I was talking about it this week. Dr. Evans, you say over and over, Christianity is not measured in years, it's measured in decades. Man, have I seen that to be true. When you see nothing over 20 years, we know we got a problem, Houston. Because, you know, it's like my little grandson, Jesse. Tom asked me if, I don't know how he said it. Am I as big as Jesse or is Jesse as big as me? What did you say, Tom? But it doesn't make any difference. He's almost as big as me, I think. And he is more important than me, that's for sure. My friend, Christianity is God doing this. God reaching into the world, calling out of the world a people for his name. So we as believers are not the territory, listen, the ethnicity, the skin color, the language, none of that has anything to do with Christianity. Christianity is not that. Christianity is God calling out of the world a people for his name. That's what, so I say in your notes, number two, God himself gathers the church, meaning the universal church, all believers and churches, because they're always put into small groups, out of the world. That's what God does. Let me ask you a question. Are you one of those people? Are you saved? I didn't ask if you went forward. I didn't ask if you prayed a prayer. I didn't ask if you're religious. I ask, are you saved? Has there been a time when you've actually been converted, called out of the world, where you used to want to go this way and now you go this way? It's strange to me how people were swear. I don't read Facebook much. You know that. Because I have a person, people get drunk and talk about religion on Facebook while they're drunk. I don't understand. To me, that sounds like you still love. Yes, God himself. See, friends, what is a church? Baptists are not weird. And by the way, Congregationalists, which we don't really have much in America today, Bible-believing Presbyterians would hold to this mostly. They would also hold, though, that if you're a member of a family, then you're part of the church, so it's kind of a mixed group. It's kind of strange. I'm going to go down to number three. God himself gathers the church and churches by his grace and for his glory. That is what we're all about. Turn the page, please, and look at John chapter 6. You see, God wants to call out of the Gentiles a people for his name. So it's not just, we are not, man, I can't get over this. I think there's so much of this embedded in us that if you're from certain areas, then you're okay. Or if you do certain religious acts, you're okay. Understand, folks, you're born in the world. Then there comes a time in your life where God saves you and calls you out of the world. That has nothing to do with your ethnicity, your language, your skin color, the food you eat, the way you talk, the way you cut your hair. It's God's grace calling us out. Why does he do this? Well, Acts 15 says he calls us, he's calling the Gentiles out of the world for a people for his name. God does this. And God does it. Why does he do it? Well, it's by his grace, for his glory. That is the point. We're going to read a bunch of verses. If these are offensive to you, take it up with the author of Scripture. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. You see, all of this is true. When the Holy Spirit draws you to faith, you will also come to faith and be raised up at the last day. It's one package. Galatians says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Acts 5:31 says, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Yes, salvation is of the Lord. He's the one that opens someone's eyes. He's the one that helps someone repent. He's the one that gives a person forgiveness. It is what God does. It's not what we do. Acts 11:18. And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted, the same word earlier is give, granted or given repentance unto life. Acts 11:21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he was come and had seen the grace of God was glad. He saw what God himself was doing. Why? Because God saves us by his grace for his glory. And the people were just astonished at seeing how God was reaching in to the lives of different ethnic groups. Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles, that would be people like us, ethnic groups, heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Acts 14:26. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all. And by the way, that is the best description of a local church. They gathered the church together. Because the church is, say it, the church is. And they gathered the church together. That's what a church does. It comes together. And when we leave here, we do what? We scatter around to the various places God has put us, homes, jobs, etc., and then God gathers us back. I mean, it's that kind of an idea. Yes. Now I forget which verse I had just read. I think I'll go to 16:14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God. By the way, she wasn't a believer. She was a God-fearer, connected to the synagogue, but a Gentile woman, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Acts 18:27. And when he had disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much which had believed through grace. This morning's Sunday school is very simple. The church is not the world. God himself gathers the church or churches out of the world. God does so by his grace and for his glory. And number four, God continues to gather his church with and by his church, meaning all believers, and churches, local churches. God continues the process. That's what we're here to do. So let me ask you a question. There was a Baptist pastor in the Philippines recently. He wants to do this with the state of Philippines. He wants to bring the Philippines in line with being a Baptist. Good idea or bad idea? What happens the moment someone does that, by the way, friend? Go ahead, somebody tell me. What happens when you join the church to the state? State wants to take over control. Let me ask you a question. If we decided somehow we got enough Baptists or Christians, even evangelicals, to take over the city of Chicago, what would the territory of Chicago look like? Answer the question. Christian or more like Chicago? See, the problem is when you join power with Christianity, which one wins? And everything gradually, or not even gradually, sometimes gets corrupted. By the way, this was the problem in many places in the United States with a lot of different crazy stuff. It became law. There were laws. Do you realize in the state of Illinois started, I'm assuming you know this, maybe you don't, Illinois started, John Mason Peck, you've heard the name, Illinois started as a non-slave state. It started intentionally as a non-slave state because the people that came here, where I'm from, my family groupings, not just Baptist, they came out of Kentucky, which was a slave state. Do you realize John Mason Peck, the old Methodist bishop, Peter Cartwright, a Presbyterian and an Episcopalian, petitioned the Congress, this would have been in the 1830s or 40s, to do what? To keep this state. They wanted to do this. Have you ever heard this before? We want to change the Constitution. Because in the South, in Kentucky, you could own slaves, and those people wanted to move here and own slaves. And the Christians here said, no, thank you. Folks, it doesn't mean we don't have influence. God takes people, gathers them in churches, and those churches are lighthouses. But they don't join with the state, because when you join with the state, your light does this. And it doesn't take long. And we've seen it over and over in America. When a pastor wants to start hanging out with the president, does the pastor get more like the president, or the president more like the pastor? All you got to do is follow Billy Graham's career. Billy Graham started out as a Bible-thumping Baptist. And I'm not angry at Billy Graham, but friends, if you know anything about Billy Graham, and if you've ever heard him preach, you look at him preach in the 50s, you look at him preach in the 80s, it's like there's two different people. You know why? Because he knew every president, and he liked to walk in the corridors of power. And here's what happens in the corridors of power. Christianity's at its strongest when we're a gathered group of people standing for the faith, shining the light, preaching the gospel, standing for truth. We are at our weakest the moment we look for power. Because sooner or later, wait a minute, we got Jerry, should I mention this guy's name in church, Jerry Falwell? A fool. We got the pastor of First Baptist of Dallas. I have pagan people writing me, offended that Christians are in love with Trump. I have had a person say to me, Trump is the greatest president in American history. Compared to whom? Don't get me wrong, I'm not a fan of Biden. We're not sure can get out of his basement, frankly. How do we do this again? We did this in 2016. We're right back where we were. Two fools. Friend, look at me. Do you know when we have power? By the way, put your notes away. Quit playing with your notes. The church is not the world. We're called out of the world by God's grace and for his glory. And then we're what? Sent back in to do what? have power? Friends, that's not how we get power. We get power when we're light in a dark world. That's when we get power. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.